Love Talk Radio.
Bitches. What's up, everybody? Today's going to be your run-of-the-mill secular talk show, which means there's going to be a gigantic dose of Donald Trump bashing with a gigantic dose of Hillary Clinton bashing mixed in with some depression and anger. That's the general sensation you're going to get from listening to today's show. None of you are surprised by that. Zero of you are surprised by that. Donald Trump continues to run the scams and do the corruption that he accuses Hillary Clinton of doing. By the way, rightly, but he's also guilty of it. So, giant hypocrite! And then also, we have some criminal activity at Wells Fargo, which is actually even worse than you thought it was, and worse than I thought it was. We discussed it recently, but we're going to dive back into the details. Some Republicans are saying, no, we only $38 billion to Israel. Only 38? Come on, man. You guys are fucked up. Obviously, you should give them all the money we have, period. Wait until we discuss that. We got a bunch of other stuff, including some AI stuff in the show today, artificial intelligence, and just standard, commonplace, nonchalant, blasé articles that are posted in fairly big publications that refer to poor people as animals. That's fun. So we'll discuss all that and much more. All right, let's get started here. And first we go to Hillary Clinton for a story that you guys probably already know the results of, but the details are pretty damning. The Guardian is reporting on an analysis here that basically empirically measured Hillary Clinton's right-wing pivot in the general election. And it's sad. So listen to this. They say, quote, Hillary Clinton has dropped the words climate change from most of her public addresses since winning the endorsement of her party rival Bernie Sanders, according to Climate Home Analysis. On Monday, when she launched her pitch to millennials online, she could find no room for an issue that will affect that also is a fucking typo. Jesus, man. All these fucking typos in the articles. I can't present a story if they don't fucking do it right. All right, sorry. My anger came out there. she could find no room for an issue that will affect them more than any other. During the last 6 months of Clinton's primary campaign against Sanders, the transcript of her speeches shows that she was talking about climate change at one out of every two speeches she gave. In 38 speeches since the general election, Clinton mentioned climate change specifically 8 times, which is once every 5 public addresses. So it used to be in 50% of speeches she would bring up climate change. Now it's 1 in every 5 speeches she brings it up, and when she does bring it up, she doesn't spend as much time on it. Okay, this is why millennials don't like you. This is why you're struggling with them. She naively thought, I got it on lock with that demographic, so they're done, now I'm going to run to the right. Well, come to find out, in the past month, new polling shows that she's hemorrhaging millennial support. 17 points she's lost among them. So now they're panicking. Now they're panicking, like, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Okay, I don't know, go out, write a... She wrote an op-ed in Mike.com, basically pandering to them and saying, let me tell you what you've taught me. She went on Jimmy Fallon, although Donald Trump did as well. She's doing all of, like, the grossest things to try to appeal to millennials. I'm going to give a speech on the interwebs. You children and fucking millennials like that, right? Do you have time in between playing Street Fighter and using drinking Zima? I don't know. I'm trying to come up with things from the 90s and the 2000s. Do you guys have time between that to possibly come and watch my speech? And everything is just panderfest all day long. And people, we see through it, Hillary. We're not like the older generation. I mean, it's sad to say, but it's true. The older generation, senior citizens, for example, they came out in droves for Hillary Clinton. Why? Because she represents that old-timey, old-school politician that they're used to. For us, we look at you and we see it's all an act. When we see you talk, we can basically envision the conversations you're having with your strategist behind the scenes, and we know it's all, how do I try to get these motherfuckers to vote for me without actually doing shit for them? So we see that now, and you know how you would be able to get more millennial votes? If you don't do the shit that you're just assuming is obvious that you should do, like the pivot. The pivot, I'm telling you guys, man, the pivot is something that's going to die. The general election pivot has to die. It's going to. Because now, like, you think that when Hillary Clinton's campaign saw this article and this study, that they were happy about it? Like, oh, look, see, now they're measuring our pivot. That's lovely. No, they want people to think like, oh, I'm principled and this is what I've believed and said all along. But that when you actually start measuring it and looking at, you know, what issues she focused on, you go, oh, no, but you don't care about the same issues. Like, that's the thing that's so sick is if you really care about something, it doesn't change with the political season. You know what I mean? Like, Bernie Sanders would be saying the exact same shit he was saying in the primary if he was in the general election. Why? Because he actually cares about those issues. So when you do something as disingenuous as care about one set of issues in the primary, then pretend to care about a whole new set of issues in the general, like I said, you're building deception into your fucking strategy. So that's why we don't like you, man. That's why we don't like you. And stuff like this is inexcusable. Understand, Bernie Sanders said, we're going to treat climate change as a World War II level threat. He would say it on the fucking debate stage to Donald Trump if he had the opportunity to, and he would shame him for saying climate change is a Chinese hoax. Hillary Clinton, like I said, drops almost all references to climate change now because she feels like, oh, in the general, people don't care about that as much. It's a fucking super important issue. Even if that were true, which it's not, that people don't care about it as much, you should talk about it because it's incredibly important. But that's the thing. It's, let me test the political winds. Where are they going? Oh, they're blowing northwest. Guys, run northwest. Like, that's what they're thinking. That's how they act. And it's so gross, man. It's so gross. Honestly, man, Hillary Clinton doesn't even deserve to win this election in a landslide. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a silly person. For the million and one reasons I've stated before, I know she's better than Donald Trump, okay? But she deserves, if anything, to just edge this out and by the slimmest of margins. And hopefully, even though I don't think it would happen, look at that as a wake-up call. As like, oh my goodness, what the fuck? Really? That's how much I beat this monster, this buffoon by? And then maybe do some self-reflection. Again, it might be too little too late, and she's incapable of doing self-reflection at this point. But, you know, this is an old breed of politician that's dying off. And this is not something that's acceptable. This is not something we should all sit idly by as she keeps doing it. For fuck's sake, we can measure the fact that she cares less about important issues now that it's the general election. It's so sad, it's almost beyond description. Okay. Next. Now we go after Donald Trump. Donald Trump was caught again in his go-to scam here. He used money from his charity for himself. Now, this is something we've reported on three times, four other times. I mean, more and more information keeps coming out. Like, for example, I mean, think of the balls on this guy to do it. Basically, for the world to see during the debates, during the primary. So remember, he skipped the debate because, oh, Megyn Kelly hurt my feelings, so I'm going to be such a macho man and fucking not show up. Again, amazing to me that he has this, you know, he's viewed as this social justice warrior slayer. But, so, what did he do at the time? Well, he skip that to do a fundraiser for veterans. And then he said, we raised, I think it was like $8 million or $7 million, he said, for the veterans. He kept saying it. We raised like $8 million. We raised like $8 million for the veterans. That's what we did. It was tremendous winning. Let me just tell you, believe me. So he said that, but then some journalists decided to actually do their job and say, let's do some investigation here. They go, Donald, we actually went around to all the charities you said you donated to, and we tallied it up, and the max you gave was $1 million. Now, okay, you could say, well, he gave $1 million, so what the fuck is everybody complaining about? Yeah, but he kept saying he gave way more than that. So they call up all the charities, and we didn't get a check, we didn't get a check, we didn't get a check, we didn't get a check. So they start running articles. Donald Trump lied about the amount that he gave to charity. When those articles started getting released, Donald Trump, on that day, wrote checks, sent it to those charities, then called a press conference and started chastising the media for not doing their jobs and for lying. I can't believe you said that Trump didn't give the money. Trump gave the money. You guys are liars. You guys are malicious. Terrible. Sad. Sad. Everybody's like, hey, dipshit, we know that you just gave it today, and the only reason you gave it is because there were exposés showing that you didn't give it. Okay, you want to know why he's doing this? The hubris, because he's done scams like this before. He's done them repeatedly. His go-to move is,
yeah, I'm going to raise some money for charity. That's what I'm going to do. Everybody give me money. Money, 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 money.
And then some of that money, he goes, oh, thank you. Let me put this in my pocket, bitch. Let me pay off my own debts. Let me do this. Let me do that. He is a classic con artist. So now we have even more information about this, and it's worse than we thought. The Washington Post explains here. Donald Trump spent more than $250,000 from his charitable foundation to settle lawsuits that involved the billionaire's for-profit businesses, according to interviews and a review of legal documents. Those cases, which together used $258,000 from Trump's charity, were among four newly documented expenditures in which Trump may have violated laws against self-dealing, which prohibit nonprofit leaders from using charity money to benefit themselves or their businesses. So in one case, they go on and they explain here, Trump settled a lawsuit by writing a $100,000 check to a charity, but he did it from his own charity. He was supposed to do it from his own funds. He didn't. He went to the charity, which again, other people give money for that. So other people give money, and then he takes it and then uses it for his own issues. Settled a lawsuit by cutting a $100,000 check. In another case, one of Trump's golf courses settled a lawsuit, again, with a $158,000 check from his charity. And then there was a $5,000 in hotel ads from his charity that he used to buy fucking advertisements, man. You can't do that. And, of course, the $10,000 painting of himself, which we already covered. The nerve of this guy.
Donate to my charity. I'm doing tremendous work. Yeah, anyway, let me buy this gigantic portrait of myself. I love myself.
He's using charity money for that. So again, they're saying, no, 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 this actually is illegal. This is illegal. So you were caught, bitch. Now understand, this is not, I'm not doing this segment. Other people may be doing it for the purposes of covering up Hillary Clinton's corruption and pay-to-play nonsense. I'm indeed not doing that. I think Hillary Clinton's also guilty of corruption and also guilty of pay-to-play, and the list goes on and on of, you know, how her and Bill are giant sellouts to wealthy donors. But understand, that doesn't mean Trump's a good guy. In fact, he's quite clearly a con artist. He's been running scams like this his entire career. So we have two disastrous candidates and two candidates that, in all seriousness, are criminals. And this is just further evidence of it right here. It's the saddest fucking thing I've ever seen. And don't you dare fall for it, man. Don't fall for it. They're lying to you, and they're going to keep lying to you. And they do it in a way that is almost unbelievable. Like, I watch it, and I go, I can't believe he just did that. Libya is the perfect example. I've described this on air before, but Trump, he's on video fucking saying, we got to take out Gaddafi. We got to go in there and take him out and do intervention. It's the right thing to do. He's a terrible guy doing terrible things. And then in a debate with Ted Cruz points that out, that he was in favor of intervention in Libya. He's like, I never mentioned Libya. I never mentioned it. What are you talking about? I never mentioned it. the lies just flow just so quickly, like nothing, smooth as butter. They just fucking pour out of him. It's a scary thing to see because you never know when he's telling the truth. It's impossible because he's a pathological liar. That's the thing is he might not – he doesn't categorize in his own mind, am I saying something that's true or false? Because he's above that. So he's just going to say, no, that, no. And he doesn't even register with him that he's fucking lying anymore. Like when he said he was caught on tape pretending to be a guy named John Miller or some shit, you know, talking about Trump's love life. Let me tell you about Trump's love life. He's dating all these women, love him, blah, blah, blah. And then they asked him, I think it was on the Today Show or something, are you saying that's not you? He's like, that's not me. It doesn't even sound like me. It sounds nothing like me. I don't know what you're talking about. It just lies. The most, it could be the most obvious, plain-faced reality of something. Lie. Who cares? Lie. And these are the people that may end up being the most powerful person on the planet. What on earth have we done? Bring back Bernie Sanders right now. Okay. All right, next. More Trump corruption. Here we go. You know, you sent in a trend here. Don't worry. I have a lot of non-election news coming soon. I only have two more Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton stories. Total. Not two each. Donald Trump has been caught yet again doing the same kind of corruption that he rips Hillary Clinton for. Huffington Post explains here. Trump gave at least $45,000 to the campaign of Alan Havesi, a New York State comptroller who later went to prison for his role in a pay-to-play bribery scandal. Trump's donations coincided with a $500 million lawsuit he filed against the city of New York in the hopes of reducing his property taxes. As the city comptroller and later the state comptroller, Havesi, a Democrat, played a role in evaluating and settling legal claims against the city of New York and its officials. The city reduced the tax assessment for Trump's newest building by 17% and awarded Trump the building a special tax abatement. In exchange, Trump agreed to subsidize 200 units of affordable housing in the Bronx. The settlement saved Trump $97 million in taxes he didn't have to pay. So, let me boil this down to being as simple as humanly possible. Trump gave at least $45,000 to the campaign of this guy, who was responsible for then turning around and net, look at that, saving him $97 million in taxes. Now, that's extra for Donald Trump. It's not like anybody else in that situation would have been granted the $97 million extra. No. So it is effectively a corporate welfare check to Donald Trump to the tune of nearly $100 million. This is corruption 101. That's exactly what it is. And we know that that's what this guy did because he eventually got caught in literal corruption. So in other words, when you are smart about it, there is legalized bribery in the United States. Because all you have to do is say, no, don't give money to me. Give it to my super PAC. Give it to my campaign. Give it to this thing or that thing that eventually gets to me. So if you do that, you can get away with it. This guy eventually just dropped the facade. And, you know, they go on to explain in the article how he did business with various hedge funds and somebody gave him money and then I do favors for you and it's the government doing the favors. So, again, at the end of the day, that's corruption because you didn't even do the facade of, let me put it through the proper channels of your super PAC, of this thing, of that thing. So an openly corrupt guy who eventually was like, I'm not even going to pretend anymore. Who am I kidding? Of course I'm corrupt. This is the guy Trump gave $45,000 to, and this is the guy who was responsible for saving him $100 million on his tax bill. So the exact same kind of shit he rips Hillary Clinton for, rightly, by the way, because the Clinton Foundation is corrupt. Hillary Clinton is corrupt. We all know this. I've given a million examples of it before. But he's also guilty of the same shit. Now, you might think, oh, no, I'm sure this wealthy con man lied to everybody else on the planet. But when it comes to me, when he says, oh, I'm going to, you know, keep jobs in the U.S. and pull out of our free trade deals and start ending the wars. I'm sure he's not lying about any of that. How stupid do you have to be to trust this guy with anything? Again, I just gave the example, but I'll give it again. He can't help himself but lie. All he does is lie. Look at what happened with Libya. He's on tape saying, we got to go in there, we got to take out Gaddafi, we got to do it, we got to do it. And then when he was called out for that, he said, I never said that. I never said that. I don't know what you're talking about. I never said anything about Libya. In fact, I was against intervention. How about that? Dude, we have you on tape. I don't care. But believe me, over your lying eyes. He says it so confidently, so arrogantly, that it's almost like the fact checkers, unless they're so well versed on the stuff and they have balls, he's going to get away with it. He's going to get away with it. So when he goes out of Crooked Hillary, you know, ripping everybody under the sun, all those criticisms, it's also projection because it applies to him. Of course it applies to him. How many times do we discuss his charity scam? His go-to move to scam people out of money is to say, we're going to do it for charity. We're going to do this thing for the charity and raise money for the veterans. Who's going to say no to raising money for veterans? Who's going to be like, no, I don't want to do that? So he basically baits you into giving him money, and then lo and behold, you put money into his charity. He turns around and buys a $10,000 portrait of himself with money that legally cannot go to that. He's using tax money, excuse me, he's using money that goes into his charity to settle lawsuits, his own personal lawsuits. You can't do that. That's charity money. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. He's above the rules. The rules don't apply to him. They're irrelevant. They're irrelevant. And it's another example of it right here. I mean, you think this guy, somebody who rose to prominence in New York in, you know, whatever it was, his dad was rich, but then in the 80s and 90s, whatever. What, you think this guy doesn't have dealings with unsavory people? You think he wasn't, you know, bribing people and playing the corrupt game? You think he doesn't have connections to the mafia? That's actually been proven, too. He does have connections to the mafia. So, I mean, if you think this guy is somehow above the fray and he's going to look out for the people, I think you're one of the biggest suckers on the planet. That's not saying Hillary Clinton is good, because she's not. And I've said that a million times. I'll say it a million more. But this idea that necessitates Trump being better, or that necessitates Trump being okay or decent or whatever, don't be a fool. It's just not the case. Okie dokie. Next story. All right, one more, then we'll take our first break. Donald Trump's goofball kid decided to post a meme on refugees, and man, did it backfire. So the meme said, if I had a bowl of Skittles and I told you just three would kill you, would you take a handful? That's our Syrian refugee problem. Okay, so I have a million responses to this, but first of all, let me just say Twitter absolutely shredded his ass because they weren't having it, and, you know, they went in, as I'm sure everybody knows, Twitter can be quite funny. People can get quite creative on there, and they went to town on this guy. But what happened is the Libertarian Cato Institute decided to do some actual math on it to see what the odds really are of you being killed by a refugee. And it's unbelievable. So they say, each year, the risk to an American of being killed by a refugee in a terror attack is 1 in 3.64 billion. What? They continue. They explain here, from 1975 through 2015, the annual chance that an American would be murdered in a terrorist attack carried out by a foreign-born terrorist was 1 in about 3.6 million. Foreigners on the visa waiver program killed zero Americans in terrorist attacks, whereas those on other tourist visas killed 1 in 3.9 million a year. The chance that an American would be killed in a terrorist attack committed by a refugee was 1 in 3.64 billion a year. In other words, for every 10.92 billion years that Americans live, one Skittle, if you will, refugees will kill an American in a terror attack in just three. Okay, so look, you could look at that and say, I don't agree with the way they did the math for reasons X, Y, and Z. A more accurate measure of it is to do, whatever, something else. That's fine. But basically, no matter how you slice it or dice it doesn't matter how you do the math. You could do the math in a way that is as biased against the refugees or the immigrants as you want, and at the end of the day, the numbers are overwhelming. The chances of you being killed by one of these people is just so immensely, mind-numbingly, ridiculously small. It's just unbelievably small. Even if you argue, like take the refugee situation in Europe right now. It's actually statistically true. It's a fact that the refugees have higher crime rates than somebody who's not a refugee. That's true. So, but even if you take that fact, that's a fact that a lot of people like to point out and like, do a fucking victory lap or something like, "Aha, see, the refugees are more violent. They're more violent." Okay, but wait a second. That could be true. The refugees have a higher crime rate than somebody who's not a refugee. But it is also true that most refugees, the overwhelming majority of refugees, will never commit a crime. Both things can be true. In the same way that, for example, you can say, hey, today, statistically, violence done in the name of religion is more Islam than any other religion. But it is also true that most Muslims, the overwhelming majority of Muslims, will never do a terror attack, will never do religious violence. By the same token, most mass shootings are done by white boys. But most white boys, the overwhelming majority of white boys, will never do a mass shooting. Most inner city crime is done by black males. But most black males, the overwhelming majority of black males, will never commit a crime. See, all those things are all true. So when you focus on something like, well, they have a higher crime rate, higher crime rate. Oh my God, they're going to commit terrorism more. Oh my God, be afraid. Let's kick everybody out and let's fucking, go nuts and not have shut down the border completely or whatever ridiculous shit these people are coming up with. That is a dumb response. That's a moronic response. Now, I don't think it's moronic, to have a conversation and a discussion about, well, how many refugees should we take or immigrants should we take in and how much do our resources allow us to do it and stuff like that. Like I would argue in Europe, they have an argument now of, look, our resources are just tapped. Like we don't have any more room. Like you're not necessarily a bigot if you make that argument. You see what I'm saying? So there are legitimate conversations to have about how many refugees you take in, how many immigrants you take in. But point is, the conversation that Donald Trump Jr. is trying to have, that is not a legitimate conversation. It's not a legitimate conversation in the United States of America, who've taken a grand total of 10,000 Syrian refugees, when Europe has taken in millions. It's not a legitimate position to say, how about we take none, because, I don't know, Skittles or some shit. And the numbers he uses are so immensely disproportionate and stupid that it makes him look like the clown he is. And by the way, oh my God, the roots of this are unreal. There's been, dozens of articles that have come out since this where they looked for, where did these kinds of arguments originate from? You want to take a guess? Nazi Germany. They did. They said, all it takes is one Jew to ruin the village or ruin the town or something. And they say stuff like, while they may try to be really nice to you, understand that deep down a Jew is always a Jew. Or, oh God, no. No. And also, it just like it falls apart at face value too. So it's almost like even though their numbers are way off, like they're saying way more refugees or criminals than actually are, they're still admitting like, okay, yes, it's not all, and the majority are not criminals and not terrorists. But I still don't want to take any of them. Like, so your own logic falls apart. And furthermore, in your hypothetical scenario, we actually have people testing the Skittles to determine which ones are poison. Think about it. We do. The United States has the most rigorous immigration and refugee vetting system on the planet. They do some shit called biometric screening. I don't even know what that means, but it sounds super scientific. They also go through, records. Believe it or not, some of these places, I think Syria is one of them, Iraq was another, they have decent records. So it takes about a year on average before a refugee can get in here, and multiple different government agencies are involved in vetting. So in this hypothetical scenario about the Skittles, you have scientists there in a fucking lab determining which Skittles have arsenic or anthrax or whatever the fuck in it. And they go, okay, this one's bad and this one's bad and the other ones are good, so by all means. So in so many different ways, it makes no sense. And yes, it also is, to a certain extent, an admission of bigotry. And look, like I said, it's a reasonable conversation to say, how many should we let in? It is not a reasonable conversation to say, I am going to ban all. And by extension, what I'm doing is I'm saying the crimes of ISIS and the crimes of Al-Qaeda do generalize to the 1.6 billion Muslims on the planet, and they're all guilty to one extent or another, so I'm just not going to let them in. Imagine flip that logic right on its head. Just like I said, super volcano goes off in the United States of America. Everybody's fleeing because we got to get out of here because you can't live here anymore. It's impossible. What happens? Every time you have white males that get somewhere, they say, oh, look. I mean, maybe I'll take some of the women and children, but the statistics don't lie. White males do well over 60% of the mass shootings in the United States. Look, I know all of you aren't guilty, but what am I going to do? I got to turn away all of you because you never know. There's a couple poison Skittles in the batch. What am I going to do? I got to turn away all white males. Would we accept that? Oh, that's cool. They're just being rational. No, we'd say that's fucking bigotry. All of us are guilty? That's insanity. You can't do that. But again, when you flip the script, people see it better. Oh, no, not me. Then they might turn me away. I've never done anything. I'm not going to do anything. When you talk about it and it's the other, many idiots on the far right go, oh, yeah, logic, that's what that is right there. No, it's actually pretty stupid. Okay. Take a quick break. When we come back, we got criminal activity at Wells Fargo that we'll talk about, and Israel is getting even more of our money, U.S. tax money. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Alright, here we go, bitches. We're not done. We're nowhere near done. Alrighty. So recently we spoke about criminal activity at Wells Fargo. Well, today I have an update for you. The International Business Times explains how the problem is actually worse than everybody originally thought. They report, on Tuesday, the Senate Banking Committee detailed how Wells Fargo opened millions of accounts and credit cards without customers' permission, a move that last week drew a $185 million fine from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and local regulators. Meanwhile, Carrie Tolstead, an executive who oversaw Wells Fargo's community banking group, where much of the fraud occurred, pocketed millions in performance pay, including stock and equity between 2012 to 2015. This was to the tune of $125 million. Okay, so just let's digest exactly what happened here. So Wells Fargo was just repeatedly committing fraud. In fact, that's what they were doing to attempt to hit their numbers and their goals in order to get a bonus. So lie. Hey, look, we opened X number of accounts. That means I get a giant bonus. Please go ahead and give me that gigantic bonus. And the executive who was in charge of overseeing these people who were committing fraud, she walks away with $125 million. But wait, you failed miserably at your job. You failed miserably at your job. Like, yeah, it's irrelevant. Give her $125 million. What the fuck? See, but this is why people hate Wall Street so much. If you succeed, you get hundreds of millions of dollars. If you fail, you get hundreds of millions of dollars. So this isn't actual capitalism, by the way. Like, in capitalism, oh, you fail, you fail. Okay, you got to move on to the next thing and try to find a way to make a living. That's how it works for you. That's how it works for the average person. That's not how it works for the elites. The elites, you commit fraud, what are you going to do? Huh? Here's $125 million. Okay, but it gets worse. They continue. Under a 1993 law, corporations can deduct no more than $1 million of executive compensation from their taxes. But that law made an exception for pay linked to performance. Consequently, because Wells Fargo structured Tolstead's payout as a bonus rather than wages, the bank could deduct the $78 million from its taxes, effectively giving itself a $27 million tax boost, according to economist Sarah Anderson, who directs the Global Economy Project at the Institute for Policy Studies. In all, Anderson said, Wells Fargo's Securities and Exchange Commission filings show that in the last 4 years, its bonus pay packages for top executives effectively gave the bank a nearly $160 million taxpayer subsidy. All right, so let me explain what that means. Wells Fargo got a $160 million corporate welfare check from you, the taxpayers, even though they were committing fraud and they weren't actually doing their job properly. This is a trick that's super-duper common. Oftentimes, for executives on Wall Street, most of their pay comes in the form of a bonus tied to performance. Now, you would think, well, they do that when that's actually the case. No. They just do it. So, in other words, when you say it's wages, you're only allowed to deduct a certain amount of it. When you say, no, it's not wages, it's a bonus tied to performance, well, then you can deduct it all. So what do they do? Just say everything is a bonus tied to performance. Even when it is proven it is not a bonus tied to performance, even when that department was committing fraud and you oversaw it, so you suck at your job, they still had the nerve, they still had the balls to file it as, no, it's okay because it's a bonus, it's tied to her performance. We know it's not tied to performance. Yeah, who cares? Anyway, we're going to deduct it, and we're going to get a net corporate welfare check from you, the hardworking middle-class taxpayers, to pay over $100 million to this bum who oversaw fraud. I can't figure out why middle-class Americans are angry at the elite. I just can't wrap my mind around it. You know, it's hard. It's hard to see it. It's not just Wells Fargo, man. This stuff is widespread beyond belief. Look at Goldman Sachs. They're the classic example. So right before the subprime mortgage crisis and the Great Recession, they were selling these toxic subprime packages to unsuspecting clients, clients who do not know enough about finance and economics. That's why they go to Goldman Sachs. They're supposed to make those decisions for them, and that's their fucking job. So they would sell them these packages and say, don't worry, bro, you're going to get super rich off this. And then as soon as they sell those packages, they turn around and bet against those packages, and they bet that they're going to fail. So you can't do that. That's like selling a car without an engine and saying it has the best engine in the world. You can't do that. But they did it, and they got away with it. How many people were criminally investigated? How many people spent time in jail? Donut. How many people in Wells Fargo? Donut. There's a clip going viral from yesterday, Elizabeth Warren chastising the head of Wells Fargo, saying, no, you should resign and you should be criminally investigated. This isn't okay. If anybody else does this, it'd be over. But since you're well-connected, since you're elite, since you're part of those circles, well, if you know the right people, you grease the right palms, you largely get away with it, and the worst you're getting is basically this chastising in front of, on TV, in front of whoever the fuck is watching. No, we got to get serious about this, man. We got to get serious about this. And then, by the way, as I've said before and I'll say again, I don't think Donald Trump could have happened if it wasn't for this. So, in other words, part of the rise of Donald Trump, not all of it, but part of the rise of Donald Trump is tied to the fact that people are so fucking sick of this bullshit and so sick of the establishment ripping us off and rigging the system that they go, dude, I will take anything but the establishment. Hillary Clinton is the epitome of the establishment. We know she is. Donald Trump, hey, maybe he's a fascist maniac who will tank the United States and the world along with it. Or maybe there's an outside chance he gets in there and he shakes things up and he overturns the apple cart and he says, fuck your establishment. People are willing to roll the dice on a guy like fucking Trump because of shit like this. Now, again, some of his supporters, call it what it is, just, you know, white supremacists and white nationalists and bigots and racists coming out of the woodworks and saying, I like that part of him. But a lot of it also, yes, is tied to economic strife and people mad at the establishment. So it's a scary thing to witness, man. This has to stop. And then also keep in mind, people are locked up for doing drugs. People are in jail for weed. People are in jail for cocaine. People are in jail for shit like that, as these people are pulling the greatest crime we've ever seen on a mass scale. Fraud which you can't even wrap your fucking mind around. Just jacking millions upon millions, if not billions of dollars, when you look at everything, from the American taxpayer. These are the real criminals. It's not like they're not just because they wear suits and ties. But unfortunately, that's the perception some people have. Okay. Oh, good googly moogly, bitch. All right, let's continue. Recently, we discussed the record $38 billion being given to Israel by U.S. taxpayers. Well, now we have some insane Republicans who've responded to this news by demanding that more tax money goes to Israel. So, first of all, let me just say, I never want to hear another fucking peep ever again from any of these idiots about the debt and the deficit. You can take that talk and shove it right up your ass. Because obviously you don't give a fuck about the deficit if you're thinking, $38 billion? Whatevs. Make it rain on Netanyahu, bitch. That's like, what are you doing? We have places in the U.S. where we don't have clean drinking water. Our infrastructure gets a grade of D. And they're like, no, totally. $38 billion? $38 billion isn't enough. So who's leading this monstrosity of an effort? Of course, U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham, the jackass who doesn't believe in due process and habeas corpus, and the guy who's never met a war he doesn't like, U.S. Senator Kelly Ayotte, U.S. Senator John McCain, and Ted Cruz. So basically, this is the idiot brigade here. Understand, it's bad. Like, the Democrats are bad enough, but somehow the Republicans want to come along and just objectively be worse. Like, how is that possible? Obama, $38 billion over 10 years. Why? 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 Well, I'll tell you why. We actually know why. Because most of that money under the deal has to go right back to U.S. defense contractors, and then the defense contractors give it to Israel in military aid. I mean, think about that. First of all, it's grotesque anyway the way it works, because you're just feeding this military-industrial complex and you don't care about the consequences. But again, more importantly is the effects of it. Everybody knows Israel is going to use that to continue their occupation and continue apartheid and continue taking more and more Palestinian land. And what, we're supposed to sit here and act like, no, it's cool. Like, fucking my tax money is going to continue occupation and apartheid. You think I'm fucking okay with that? I don't want that. But this is where we're at. And then, so the two parties, one of them says, let's gleefully continue this because we're going to get rich off of it because we're going to give the money right back to the defense contractors. One party says that. The other party says, no, I agree and let's go further. So there's nobody saying, let's not do that. Who's saying that? The Democrats say, let's do it. The Democrats say, let's do it. The Republicans say, let's do it and then some. There's nobody representing sanity in the United States here. By the way, both parties, we also have a consensus. Arm the shit out of Saudi Arabia. ISIS that made it. The people who behead people in the fucking public square, like the year is 12. Those people. Hey, sorcery, witchcraft, apostasy. Cover women up. They can't drive. Fuck them. Oh, we love human rights and altruism, so let's arm the shit out of them and then watch them massacre women and children in Yemen as they bomb schools for the blind and Doctors Without Borders, as they've literally done. This is what's happening to us. And then we have the nerve to lecture people about freedom and democracy and liberty and altruism and human rights and these flowery things. Oh, we care about people. That's what it is. We're humanitarian. We're so liberal. This is liberal values. This is liberal values. So they also go on to use the most bullshit reasoning you've ever heard in your life. They say, the senators noted the amount is a fraction, just 1% of the amount of assistance provided to the Iranian regime since completion of the nuclear accord. That is a flat-out lie. That's a lie. Because you're not actually giving assistance to the Iranian regime. You kidnapped their money, froze their money, and then now as part of the deal that assures they don't get a nuclear weapon, you slowly but surely release back to them their own money. It's their money. Their money. We didn't take it ours. Now it's ours. And then if we give it back to you it's us, ours, and we're giving it to you. No. We took your money. It was yours all along, and then now we're going to give it back to you as part of a deal which guarantees you have no path to a nuke. But they don't even bring that up. They don't want – because facts. Who gives a fuck about that? No, who cares that the – end result is what we say we want. The Republicans say that's all we want is them not to get a nuke. Mission accomplished. Go blow Obama because he got it when you only talk about it. Unbelievable liars. Unbelievable liars. The whole point of the deal is give you back your own money and you allow the IAEA in there to bury themselves in your rectum to make sure that you don't build a nuke. That's what happened. That's what we got. And now they say, well, you know, this is only a fraction of the assistance that we're giving to Iran. We're not giving any assistance to Iran. Any, you fucking legendary liars. None. We're giving none to Iran. We're giving $38 billion to Israel. And you say, that ain't enough. I want to give more. These guys are loathsome assholes, man. They don't care about the consequence of their actions. How many fucking Palestinians are going to be slaughtered in Gaza now? How many? Because Netanyahu's armed to the teeth. How many? And I'm fucking funding it. My tax money. My tax money. One party says $38 billion. Another one says more. We got to look. You got to do what you got to do, man. This idea of, oh, when they're our allies, we must stand by them no matter what. Really? Is that how it works in real life, too? Your friend just killed a hooker and shot himself up with crystal meth. You smoke crystal meth. Your friend just did crystal meth and killed a hooker and slapped your mom in the face. Well, I have to stand by him. Here, let me give you a couple $100. Go buy some more crystal meth. Is that how it works? Is that what it is? Is that being a friend? No, you know what a friend is? A friend is somebody who can tell you when you're doing something fucked up. Hey, man, stop slaughtering Palestinians. Hey, man, stop stealing more land. Hey, man, Maybe we should take some weapons away from you instead of giving more to you. Hey, Saudi, maybe no more beheadings and treating women like second-class citizens if you're treating them like human beings at all? Maybe, just maybe that, as we say we care about human rights? Untangle the relationship with Saudi, untangle the relationship with Israel. I don't want war with them. You know, I just want to, and I would sit down and tell them face to face, be straight up with them. Hey, Netanyahu, look, here's the deal, man. Yeah, we get it. You're better. When it comes domestically, yeah, gay marriage, wonderful. You know, you treat gay people better. You treat women better. We're with you on all that stuff, man. Hurrah, liberal values, tremendous, fantastic. But you're also doing occupation and apartheid. I can no longer fund this, and I will no longer fund this. It's not going to happen. So do a fucking two-state deal, or you get nothing. Nothing. And you're going to fucking like it. How about that? Same shit to Saudi. Oh, you would like our help? That's cute. How about you stop slaughtering Yemeni civilians for a start? And then maybe you stop beheading people in the public square and you let women show their fucking foreheads. I know, I'm so unreasonable. You might shake up the global order. You can't do that, Kyle. Yes, I fucking can, and I would. But these guys know, business as usual, all the time, more money for the military-industrial complex, jobs, 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 jobs. Who, those jobs are tied to fucking slaughtering people? Who gives a shit? Jobs, 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 let's give away more U.S. tax money as here crumbles. This is where we're at. All right, let me go on to another loathsome story, this time about poor people being compared to animals. The Tennessean ran an article by a writer named Leah Hudson, and it's titled, "Feeding the Animals Makes Them Dependent." I'm sure you see where this is going. So she says the following. Any park ranger will tell you, don't feed wildlife. The reason behind this is that they become dependent and will not forage for themselves any longer. A disturbing trend is affecting American wildlife. Animals that formerly were self-sufficient are now showing signs of belonging to the Democratic Party. They have apparently learned to just sit and wait for the government to step in and provide for their care and sustenance. Isn't this what Hillary and the Democratic Party are doing, continuing to make more and more people dependent by continuing to feed them? Food stamps, children's lunch programs, child care programs, housing subsidies, farm subsidies, student loans. The list is endless. Okay. Where do I begin with this? So, it's bullshit. I mean, there's no other way to couch it. There's no other way to soften the landing here. The International Business Times has a good piece explaining why this is bullshit. They say, the welfare queen stereotype has little factual basis. According to the Economic Policy Institute, two-thirds of people on needs-based public assistance are either working or have a family member who's working. About half of all recipients of public assistance are working full-time. So on top of that, you do know that these programs all have time restrictions and requirements, right? So in other words, you get unemployment, for example. That doesn't last forever. She's arguing like, well, you know, these animals, what are you going to do? You feed them a little bit, they keep coming back. 8 years later, they keep going, whoa, 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 whoa. Do you not even know how these programs function? Do you not even know it cuts you off at a certain point? Do you not get that? Do you not get that, for example, you have to prove that you went searching for a job? Do you not understand these things? No, because you don't care about basic facts, because you're a right-wing hack who's arguing based off of your emotions. My mammy and daddy done taught me that these damn, I'm not going to say the N-word, but you know what I mean. Down the street, they own welfare all the time, and it's the hard-working white folks that do all the work and sustain them white power. Okay, but none of that is true. None of that is true. Furthermore, as we've covered, when you actually go to the data, you find out, oh, it's red states that are the biggest net tax receivers. So you know what that means, right? According to your own logic, it's the red states that are the biggest parasites and moochers and lazy sons of bitches. It's the blue states that are the net taxpayers. Now, again, is it fair for me to say, well, I guess all these Republicans are just parasites and moochers and animals? You're like animals. No, I wouldn't say that. You want to know why? I'm a decent human being. Furthermore, you dig further into the data, you find out very quickly the people who are mostly receiving this stuff, it's veterans. It's disabled people and handicapped people and senior citizens and people who've been looking for a job but they can't find a job and they're left behind by the system. People who sometimes work a full-time job. They work full-time, but they don't make enough money to survive. It ain't their fault. They're doing their part. The system is the problem in that instance. When you work full-time and you don't make a living wage, it ain't that person's fault now, is it? They're working full-time. But she does have animals. Oh, you work full-time, but you still need some help? Oh, gross. And that's what you're like. You're like an animal. If you had this woman need help, how quickly her opinion would change. This is always what happens with the right-wingers. Always. Unless it affects them directly, I'm judging the shit out of you, and I'm coming to dumbass conclusions. You know, how many Republicans, I'm against gay marriage, I'm against it. Oh, shit, my kid is gay? You know, maybe I can kind of see where the liberals are coming from. You know, what are you going to do? There are Republicans who voted against disaster relief funding for New York when Hurricane Sandy hit. A few months later, there's some flooding in their state. All of a sudden, they go run into the government. I need the money. People are hurting. What are you going to do? Help me. Where the fuck was that concern when it was people you didn't know in New York? It wasn't there because it didn't affect you. Because you're an idiot and you can't think things through and put yourself outside of your own narrow-minded perspective for a split second, for a little bit. You can't do it. You can't do it because you're a moron. They don't get it. They're putting themselves on display, embarrassing themselves for the world to see. Like, she thinks she's nailing it in this article. Ha-ha, I'm going to keep it real. I'm going to tell people, parasite, moocher, lazy, animal. You need to feed your kid, and you need food stamps to do it, even though you work full-time? Animal! This is what you do? This is how you act? And they think they're nailing it. You're not more intelligent. If this is your ideology, you're less intelligent. You're not more moral, and they think they are. Personal responsibility, I'm moral. Nobody else has personal responsibility but me. No. No, you are talking about people who have the personal responsibility. You're talking about the people who are moral. You are immoral in how you talk about them. You're the one whose ideology is backwards, and you're so blinded by it, so blinded to it, that even if somebody were to send this segment to you, you'd watch it and just dismiss everything. Forget the facts, forget the statistics, forget the studies, forget the reasoning, forget the logic. I don't give a fuck. I'm going to blame the other and those poor people because obviously there's something defective about you if what? You're not Paris Hilton or Donald Trump and were born with a silver spoon in your mouth? Okay. I got to take a quick break. When I come back, I got a lot more. Another police shooting, and we got David Pakman of the David Pakman Show gives us an interesting report on AI. All right, stay right there, guys.
All right, welcome back, y'all. Here we go. I got a little story here for you on AI, not Allen Iverson, artificial intelligence. David Pakman from the David Pakman Show did an interesting report here on artificial intelligence and the future of the economy. Let's watch.
We have this general sense that many jobs are going to be replaced by machines in the next 15 or 20 years. There's a new report now from Forrester, which does research into this type of economic change that we're expecting. And it's much more specific. Within 5 years, the report says, robots and so-called intelligent agents, some call it artificial intelligence, call it what you want, are going to replace positions in customer service, trucking, and taxi services, which will total 6% of jobs, according to this Forrester report. This will be really in full force by the year 2021. So no surprise here, right? I mean, big picture, we've seen reports that say 40 to 45% of current human-done jobs could be replaced by technology. The Forrester report very, very specifically saying in the next 5 years, it's going to be about 6% of jobs, primarily in customer service, trucking, and taxi services. You're probably sick of hearing me say this by now. The only way that we're going to move past this in a positive manner as humans is if we rethink the relationship to work. Do we really need to be working 45 hours a week?
Yeah, that's true, and things are going to get weird because there's going to be a weird transition period that's totally unavoidable between how we do stuff now and how things are going to be done in the future, whether we like it or not. So as of right now, people have this conception of how life is in the Western world, you know, and it varies the amount of hours you work, obviously, per country, and Western European countries work much less, but basically the idea is, you wake up during the weekdays and you go to your job, and that's what you do. You spend most of your time involved in economic pursuits and making a living so that you can afford, you know, whatever luxuries and amenities you have, your roof over your head, the food you eat, the whatever entertainment you have, whether it's fucking video games or going out to movies or going to plays or whatever the fuck it is, going on vacations. But, like, just because we do it like that right now doesn't mean that it will be like that forever. And in fact, what we're learning now as AI goes, you know, further along the path here is it's almost certainly not going to be like that forever. Because just as you had, for example, the fucking Morse code industry, which was replaced with the telephone, just as you had the horse and buggy that was replaced with the car, it's just untenable to hold on to this position that some of the jobs that we currently have in society are going to stay as they are. So there is going to come a time when AI, as he's saying, it replaces 6% in the short run, up to 50% in the long run. And I don't even know how we define long there, 100 years, whatever the fuck it is, I don't know. But clearly, by its very nature, by that happening, the unemployment rate spikes massively. The unemployment rate spikes massively, you have unrest. You have an angry population. You have a population that, in many instances, cannot sustain unless you do other tweaks to the system in order to try to fix it. Now, at first, like I said, it's not going to be a smooth transition. Just like it wasn't a smooth transition from Morse code to the phone, it wasn't a smooth transition from horse and buggy to the car. You know, it wasn't a smooth transition to industrialization where everybody was out in the fields working at farms, and then all of a sudden, next thing you know, everybody's forced into a city to work in a factory. It's never a smooth transition. But it's inevitable. It's almost like the evolution of society, and you can't, you know, jam on the brakes and go in reverse. So if you're going to have AI take over transportation, if you're going to have AI take over customer service, if you're going to have AI take over all these different things, well, then we're faced with some really difficult questions. How do you structure society? How are you going to structure it? Because, as Stephen Hawking says, if we go the route that we're currently going, with massive income inequality and with elite control of world governments through campaign contributions. If you do that,
you are sowing the seeds for disaster and sowing the seeds for unrest, and it's almost like we will be living in a sci-fi movie. Now, you don't have to go that way. You could also go the way of, like David's alluding to there, having more or less some sort of a system where you have your technology, your robot, your machines assigned to you. They do your work for you. They do all the economic output for you, and you just reap the benefits. So you have nothing but leisure time, and people are free, as a result of the technological revolution, to spend their time however they wish. I mean, that's possible. It is possible to basically, yes, redistribute wealth to fix this. But it ain't going to happen quickly if it happens at all. And it's also likely we just don't do that, and the greed and recklessness of the elite fuck over the whole thing and blow up the whole thing. And that's a scary thing to think about. Guys, people forget, an amazing fact, I think it's 62 people have more wealth than the bottom 50% of the world. 62 people have more wealth than what? Over 3 billion people? It's not because they worked harder. It's not because they're just that much better than you. No, it's a system that's largely coasting off of momentum from previous generations and accumulated wealth, and it ain't a meritocracy. It's not a meritocracy. So if we don't do our best to redress the economic grievances, and yes, redistribute in a way that's somewhat fair, I'm not saying everybody gets, you know, exactly, you split it up evenly across the board, because then the total aspect of a meritocracy is gone. I'm not saying that. But if you split it up in a way that makes more sense, well, then yes, we can avoid the dystopian future. If you don't do that, and it ain't just me saying it, it's Stephen Hawking saying it, you know, we could be in for a rough ride. Humanity can be in for a rough ride. So there are big changes coming, man. I mean, society and civilization is always changing, but it seems to be going faster now than ever before. I mean, how far we've come from the creation of computers to now the fact that the iPhone in your pocket is more capable and more advanced than the fucking computer that NASA used to get us on the moon. Think about that. That's how fast it's come in that short amount of time. Where's it going to be in another 30 years? Mind blown. Okay. Next. Tulsa police shot and killed an unarmed black man who was having car trouble. His name is Terrence Crutcher. Cops were responding to an unrelated call when they came across him and they saw his car broken down in the middle of the road. Now, this guy is described in various media outlets as a church-going family man who was taking classes on music appreciation at a local community college. And then this happened. Attended to. Nobody rushed to help him. The cops did have first aid in their car. Nobody administered it. And he ended up dying. The cops are saying that he put his hands in his car. Now, obviously, you see early on there, he has his hands up. He walks towards his car, and then I couldn't tell from the helicopter one or the other one if he put his hands in his car. But the default assumptions are quite telling, aren't they? This idea that, well, if he indeed did do that, well, obviously he's going for a weapon and he's trying to kill you. There's how many of you? Four of you were there? Four officers and one of him? And his hands were up, kind of in the submissive position, and then what? Like, why? I don't... Like, they're taught, the cops are trained, everything is a threat all the time, no matter what. So that's how they act. Well, this is one of those instances where just a little bit of restraint could have saved the guy's life. He had no weapons. He had no weapons. Now, the three cops there didn't shoot and understood, you know, oh, you know, let's be reasonable about this. One officer shot. And again, now he's dead. This is why Colin Kaepernick is protesting, man. Officers, not all of them, but many of them, some of them, are far too quick to violence. They're far too quick to pull in the trigger. You know, the number of deaths we have by officers in the United States, it's just way more than any other modern nation. There are some modern nations where officers don't even have guns. Now, I'm not advocating for that, but am I advocating for more restraint? Yes. Yes, I am. You know, I don't think it was necessary in this case. I don't. And I think that if you do think it was necessary, there's a little bit of rationalization going on your part. You know, when there's just the run-of-the-mill excuses that are trotted out. Oh, it's a hard job, and what are you going to do? They fear for their lives. And yeah, but that's the problem. The problem is that was an instance where you probably shouldn't have feared for your life. He didn't have any weapons on him. Now, after the fact, we know, okay, he was coming back from a fucking music appreciation class, and he's a church-going family man. Now, cops are also saying, oh, we found PCP in the car. Even if that's true, that's not a death sentence. Like, that's not, those facts are often released as, like, character assassination after the fact. That, like, whatever, man. Like, I do recreational drugs. I don't do PCP. But I do recreational drugs. If I end up getting shot in a situation like that, I'd hope that people don't view that as convincing afterwards. Like, well, on the other hand, he did have a substance. What? Like, that's not a, like, it's amazing to me that like, lands with people. Like, aha. Like, what do you mean, aha? What does that mean? And you know how you should really think about this in order to understand the depth of the problem? If that was your kid, or if that was your brother, you know, or your dad or whatever, and this is how he died, would you say, oh, I see where the cops were coming from? No, I think we'd all go, you know what? Little too quick to the trigger. Little too quick to the trigger. I don't think it's unreasonable to say that's too fast to the fucking trigger. I really don't. So they got to reel it in, man. And, the important thing is de-escalation training. Oftentimes people get on Black Lives Matter and they say, oh, they're bad for reasons X, Y, and Z. And sometimes their rhetoric does go too far. Pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon, all that stuff. I get the concern over that. But when you actually get to Campaign Zero, for example, which is the original, policy proposal plan from Black Lives Matter, you go, oh, all of this is reasonable. They say, let's have a civilian review board to see how the cops are doing. They say, let's have body cameras on all the officers, and that nips in the bud the chances an officer will do something wrong in the first place. So the statistics show officers are much less likely to, engage in those kind of negative actions if they know they're being recorded. Let's change the training so that de-escalation tactics are the go-to, as opposed to right now it appears like escalation is built into the situation because cops are taught all the time, not, hey, protect and serve, but no, make sure, first things first, you take no risk with your lives whatsoever, and everybody's the enemy. That's the wrong way to go about it, and I think the statistics on how cops act in the U.S. and how many deaths there are in the U.S. prove that. They bear that out. Now, again, don't get me wrong. I'm not blaming all cops. I think most cops are probably good people, but when you have things like this happening, there's got to be some sort of reform to prevent this from happening because this isn't normal. This isn't normal. So it's a horrific situation, and I hope there's justice. You know, it's so super duper duper rarely do you get anything other than maybe fired. Like, fired is the worst it gets. Oh, okay, find a new job. Like, that's, it's not unreasonable to say, you know what, there should be an indictment, maybe there should be a conviction, everybody should look at all the evidence and say, you were too quick to pull the trigger. It almost never happens. So naturally, as a result of this, you have black communities in the U.S. feel, there's a police occupation happening here, and it's not okay. The Baltimore report, remember that? In Chicago, there were black sites that cops had where they tortured people. That's not normal. In Baltimore, the report was endless. In Ferguson, the report was endless. Those departments were built on abuse. They were. I mean, they said Fourth Amendment, Schmortha, Flenman. We don't care about that. We're going to search whoever we want for whatever reason we want. Dropping N-bombs left and right. One officer had over 100 complaints of abuse of authority against them. They didn't do anything. One officer said to a black kid right after the George Zimmerman case, how about you come to my town dressed in a hoodie, see how it works out for you. Just clear threats of violence. The list goes on and on of how they were acting like an occupying army. We all know the statistics on how the drug war is disproportionately targeted against black people. So this is why Colin Kaepernick is protesting. And as a final point here, it says something about your character. If you're more angry at Colin Kaepernick sitting for the national anthem than you are at situations like this. And this isn't the only one. We've seen it time and time again. You know, Walter Scott running away from the officer. Officer shoots him in the back, kills him, and then plants shit on him. You know, Philando Castile. Hey, let me see your license. Okay, officer, I'm going to reach for my license. I just want to let you know I have a licensed firearm on me, but I'm going for my license right now. Okay, he goes for his license, shot dead. Cop doesn't help him, stands there with the gun pointed at him the entire time. You know, the case in Staten Island, Eric Garner, choked out, killed. For what? Maybe, maybe not, selling loose cigarettes? The list goes on and on. If you're more mad about Colin Kaepernick sitting for the national anthem in peaceful protest than you are about this, I question your moral compass. Okay. Okay, let me see if I can squeeze in two more here. Rosemary Thomas of Clifton Park was at a Popeye's Chicken in Harlem, and basically the worst thing that ever happened to anybody on the planet happened to her. Take a look. That would be a rat head in her fried chicken. Yeah. Yeah. So we've seen somewhat similar things. I mean, I think it was KFC where they fried a dish towel and served a dish towel to somebody. Unbelievable. You know, there's been some gross examples like this elsewhere. Dude, this, I don't know why, but stories like this actually have a big impact on me. It makes me feel like, oh, so there's really, like, the idea of the government effectively regulating your food. And to be fair to them, I'm overstating it because they do. Like when there's an E. coli or salmonella outbreak or something, they are pretty quick. Okay, recall, recall, recall. So I only half mean this. But when I see something like this, I'm like, how the fuck can that happen? You're at a fucking restaurant, man. You're at a restaurant. You just got served a fucking rat head that's fried. That's unreal. It makes me sick beyond belief. But am I going to stop eating Popeye's chicken? No. I'm not. It's too goddamn good, man. And if you haven't had it, you don't know what the fuck you're missing. Well, apparently you're missing a rat head. But beyond that, you don't know what you're missing. You guys know I don't believe in God. I'm not religious. But Jesus may have created Popeye's chicken. He may have created Popeye's chicken because, God damn it, it's fucking good. God damn it, those biscuits. God damn it, it's so good. But part of me doing this segment is to whine and bitch and moan that why did it have to be Popeye's? If it was KFC again, like they did with the dish towel, okay, cool. I'll get over it because I don't eat that nearly as much. Popeye's, now I'm hurt.
I actually haven't had Popeyes in a while, but why did it have to be you guys with the fucking rat head? Disaster, disaster. So, there may be something to this idea that fast food is like cheap, shitty food. I'm beginning to think that after rat head in fried chicken is now a thing. Okay, final story of the day. The Grand Ayatollah in Iran issued a fatwa against women riding bicycles. So he said, riding bicycle often attracts the attention of men and exposes the society to corruption, and thus contravenes women's chastity, and it must be abandoned. What? Oh, God, this is so sad. Stop it. Stop it. Like, when you have, you know, theocratic idiots, like old men who are super-duper fundamentalists running a country, this is the result. Remember, in Saudi Arabia, they issued a fatwa against Pokemon and chess. And they go, can't allow it. Can't allow it on Islamic. Not cool. Not cool. You only just made it so that people in Saudi Arabia now want to play Pokemon. They might not have ever thought about it before. And you know what they said when they banned chess? They said, we are banning it because it is un-Islamic and a waste of time. Like, this idea of when somebody has too much power and they're stupid, this is how they act. Like, anything they personally don't like, they're like, it's okay. I will save the country from it. Don't worry. I thought it was a waste of time, so I'm banning it for all of you. Well, what about people who don't think it's a waste of time? The idea that people could think differently from them, like, doesn't even occur. It's like, what do you mean? No, I'm in the ultimate arbiter. Duh, people will faithfully follow what I say because I'm so wise. No, you're not wise. You're a fucking dunce. You're a fucking spunk monkey. That's what you are. Fuck off. So, but this is where we're at, man. Now, in Iran, they're like, women riding bicycles, not okay, banned. Okay, dude, look at how he phrased it. Riding a bicycle often attracts the attention of males and exposes the society to corruption. How? What does that mean? I see a woman riding a bicycle. I will now go to the government and try to get tax money. What are you talking? There's no corruption there, but men are looking at you. I've never once in my life looked at a woman riding a bicycle and going, oh, it's so hot the way she's riding the bicycle. But that's how they think. Why? Because they try to cover women up anyway, and they never fucking see women. So if you see a woman riding a bicycle, if I only see women covered up, and then I happen to see a woman riding a bicycle, maybe I'd get hard too. Because I don't see women regularly. So then, oh my God, now you're riding a bicycle. Oh my God, oh my, so beautiful, the figure and the way you're moving and blah, 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 blah. Like, that's what happens when you fucking repress everything massively. That's never happened, man. Well, I mean, to be fair, if I saw, like, Kim Kardashian riding a bicycle and I'm behind her and she's wearing the tight... okay, never mind. We don't need to get into that. Bottom line is, this is how a silly country acts. Don't be silly. And by the way, most people in Iran, of course, do not agree with this. The country is young on average, and they look at these dinosaurs running their country and they're like, what? What does that even mean? What are you doing? But in their fucking, you know... In their position above the rest of society, these leaders look down, the Grand Ayatollah. I will decree things and you will follow, and that's totally cool. You're only sowing the seeds of resentment and hatred against you because your ideas are preposterous. They're not based in reality, and you're making your own bed, and eventually you're going to sleep in it, man. You know, in Iran specifically, with how young the population is and how they have easy access to Western ideas and the internet and fucking TV, and they know, man, they know you're a joke. So he thinks he's nailing it. He thinks he's keeping it real.
Ha, did you see that fat wide said about women shouldn't ride bicycles?
You just look like a moron to the rest of us. Okay. I'm out of time, guys. I love you. I will see you tomorrow for another awesome show. Mwah. Peace.